It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Good morning. KSL News Time is 8 o'clock today. Of course, Inauguration Day. It is the 20th of January. This is Utah's Morning News. I'm Tim Hughes.
And I'm Amanda.
Traffic on the freeway is still looking pretty good. I'm Andy Farnsworth.
The inauguration of Joe Biden, a special hour on Utah's Morning News.
We're about 2 hours away from Joe Biden taking the oath of office and becoming the 46th president of the United States. Of course, you will hear it all live here on KSL News Radio.
ABC News presidential historian Mark Updegrove talks about the importance of the inaugural address and the pressure facing the president-elect to deliver a unifying speech.
It is the overture of your administration. And you have the entire nation and world watching you at that moment. So you are setting the tone for what is to come in the next 4 years.
The audience Biden will be speaking to won't be the large crowd normally gathered for an inauguration, in part because of security and because of the pandemic.
You can look back to George Washington, which was relatively small because it was in a small hall in Philadelphia. Subsequent inaugurations, probably the same thing. When the United States became a much bigger concern, there were far more people who attended. The ceremonies were outside, and a lot of American citizens congregated.
Utah Congressman John Curtis will be in attendance at the inauguration, and he joined Utah's Morning News just before heading off to go through the security line.
Well, I can tell you personally, I'm just anxious to give the president a good start. His success is important to all of us, and that's one of the reasons I want to go to the inauguration today to symbolize my respect for the office of the presidency.
Curtis says he's optimistic about the nation's future, and there's a lot of work to do.
There's so much the country and the state and my district is expecting. They want to see progress on COVID, especially the distribution of the vaccines. They want to see the appropriate COVID legislation. I think that appropriate is very important. And then as soon as we kind of turn the corner from COVID, the issues like immigration and infrastructure are just looming. There's just many, many looming issues right now.
All of Utah's congressional delegation will be attending the inauguration, with the exception of Utah Representative Chris Stewart. Stewart's office tells us he was planning to attend but was exposed to COVID-19 and has started showing symptoms just before taking his flight to Washington, D.C.
We should tell you that President-elect Biden has left St. Matthews along with Mitch McConnell and others from Washington and is now arriving in a long parade of vehicles at the Capitol building. In his first official acts as president, Joe Biden expected to sign executive orders on a broad range of issues from the pandemic to climate change.
We are expecting the president-elect to issue a mask requirement in all federal buildings, on federal lands, and by federal employees and contractors.
We're told that Biden will also be challenging all Americans to wear a mask for the first 100 days of his administration, and he wants 100 million vaccinated in that same time frame.
As President Trump left the White House this morning, he told supporters gathered at Joint Base Andrews that he will be back.
ABC's George Stephanopoulos asked former New Jersey governor and former Trump advisor Chris Christie what that means.
I have no idea what he means that he's coming back, and I suspect that he has no idea what he means that he's coming back, but it sounds like the right thing for him to say, because it's another way of him not admitting defeat. That this is all just temporary.
There had been some talk before the events of January 6th that he might run again.
Right, and who knows? I mean, that's something that's in his mind. I think the more important thing is the way this party comes back is the way every losing party comes back. I mean, you know, I've heard this over and over again. I'm now feeling old enough that, you know, when George Bush 41 lost in 1992 to Bill Clinton, it was a broken, decimated Republican Party between conservatives and moderates. And how are they ever going to come back? The same way about the Democratic Party after George W. Bush defeated Al Gore and then John Kerry, that there was an electoral lock for the Republican Party on the presidential map that couldn't be broken. What happens, George, is leaders change parties, not the other way around. And so the Democrats come back in 2008 because of Barack Obama, a transformational type of leader for the Democratic Party, in the same way that George W. Bush restored the Republican Party. So we're going to see what happens. But it's going to be, I've always said in these political fights, it's the people who put themselves out there as candidates that matter the most. And if they find someone, if our party finds someone who they want to follow, this will be a distant memory. But that's going to be the challenge for the next 4 years.
And it's still some time away.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.